Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary. I'm reflecting on some rather startling imagery Jesus uses in Luke chapter 13. Just a warning that I will be talking about domestic violence, and so if that's triggering for you, you might want to turn off now. Where was God? A friend once wrote to me. Where was God when my father was on the rampage, trying to break down my bedroom door so he could punch me? Where was God when I was hiding under the dining room table, shaking and terrified? Why didn't God keep me safe? There's an old children's song that goes like this. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. And when I think of my dear, dear friend, who sang songs like this in religious education classes at school, and who begged God to keep her safe from her father at home, my heart just breaks. When we think of God, we often come up with big, strong images. The enraged she-bear in Hosea chapter 13, or the soaring mother eagle in Deuteronomy. The God who sends plagues and armies to punish and destroy. The God who controls the wind and the waves and plays with sea monsters just for fun. We want God to be big and strong and powerful and in charge and ready and willing to punish evil. But when we look around at the world, well, God just doesn't seem to be doing much of this. Instead, vulnerable people keep suffering and the proud keep trampling over anyone who gets in their way. People, perhaps, like Jesus. In God's culture, says Jesus, some who are last will be first, and some of the first will be last. His words are a warning to the powerful, and the powerful respond with threats. Get away from here, some Pharisees say. Herod wants to kill you. Now, if Jesus was a big, strong God we're all kind of hoping for, he'd just laugh at the threat. Then he'd whip out a sword or a plague or some superhero power, and he'd slaughter all those colluding Pharisees and then Herod and all his lackeys for good measure. And then he'd take out my friend's father and every abusive priest and all the people who threaten our sense of entitlement and those awful neighbours across the street and that total cow at work. And then he'd sit on the throne in Jerusalem, dressed in purple velvet as the blood ran in rivers through the streets. But perhaps we've noticed by now, he's just not this kind of God. Instead, Jesus tells the Pharisees that he's going to continue his work of casting out demons and healing vulnerable people. And he's going to head towards Jerusalem, where prophets have always been killed. And then he compares Herod to a fox and himself to a chicken. Not the imperial eagle of Deuteronomy, that symbol of power and strength which could rip a fox to pieces. Instead, a powerless, weak, vulnerable chicken. A mother hen, in fact, who longs to gather her brood under her wings and who puts her own body between the fox and the chicks, knowing full well that she will be killed. And most of us here have seen what happens when a fox gets into the hen house. Why would Jesus say this? He's the Son of God. He can call upon angel armies to pour out violence upon us all. Why would he compare himself to something so weak, so pathetic? Something which can't even protect us from people's fists or from predators out on the prowl. This image of Jesus as a mother hen, these questions, they go straight to the heart of the nature of Christ. And that is that despite all the noisy rhetoric which claims otherwise, Jesus Christ refuses to be a strong man. Sure, there are plenty of strong men around who claim to be working in God's name, But strong men rally the crowds by whipping up fear and uniting people against a common enemy. We see it in the news every day. Manufactured angst against marriage equality or Muslims or women or those people taking our jobs. Strong men bring people together by turning others into scapegoats. And if we worship and follow a strong man, we will never see an end to the cycles of fear and hatred which rip our world apart. So Jesus rejects this way of being God. He rejects our lust for retaliation and retribution. He rejects our longing for a God who will endorse violence and border controls and racism and homophobia and all the other ways that people are made into scapegoats. Instead, he offers peace. And this is not a military peace. It's not the peace of domination, but the peace of disarmament. It's the peace which demands that we lay down our swords and love our enemies. The peace which comes when we lower our defences and risk vulnerability. The peace we experience when we do not let ourselves be warped by the impulse for revenge, but instead let our only experience of violence be in the suffering of it. For this is the peace of Christ, and it's this peace which heals and transforms the world. When we gather under Christ's wings, there is no guarantee of safety, there is no earthly security. Foxes and wolves circle hungrily, and all we have is Christ's own body. Feathered and warm, unguarded, wholeheartedly loving, infinitely vulnerable. As chicks, we are called to nestle in, to let go of our individualism and to become part of the flock, to choose unity, solidarity, and like our mother hen, self-giving love. And we're called to imitate her. As we do so, we might be mocked, even attacked. We might suffer with our mother hen. But we do so knowing that she too was mocked and attacked. She too suffered and even died, wings spread, breast exposed. And she did so to disarm the powers of retaliation, violence, sin, and death once and for all. And now she's raised to new life, and she calls us towards a culture of renewal, a space where violence is no longer king, and love reigns over all. So in answer to my friend's question, where was God when I was a child? I say this. She was huddled with you when you were behind your bedroom door. She was weeping with you when you were under the table and terrified. She came fully alive in you when, as an adult, you chose not to retaliate against your father and not to reenact the violence with your own children. And as you engage in the incredibly slow, difficult and painful work of therapy, and as you keep growing in understanding and love, you might just hear her crooning gently in tenderness and in joy. Amen. May the Mothering God keep you as the apple of her eye and hide you in the shadow of her wings. God bless.